Welcome to our service this morning, wherever you're joining us. We're going to begin with a song that centres our minds on Jesus, in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. Of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. No fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns, power of Christ I stand.
Lord, grant us ears to hear your word to us this morning. Bless it to us, we pray, and grant us hearts to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but righteous to eternal life.
Jesus is speaking of judgment, of the last days, of what will happen to us at the end of time. That's the context of what I want to say to you today. But my aim isn't to give a detailed breakdown of this story. My question is this: why does God care how we treat each other? Now that might seem a strange question. So I want you to try and switch off for a moment your pre-existing ideas about God. Imagine you're an alien coming to this world for the first time. You wonder how people are going to treat you. You do your research. You look at what people do, what they've done in the past, not just to each other, especially not to their equals, but to those beneath them, to other humans who are different, to animals, to creation. You know, there are some people in this country, even now, who will set two dogs fighting each other to see what happens. Not so long ago, fox hunting was a well-known sport. Further back, cockfighting, said to be the world's oldest spectator sport, was only banned in England in 1835. Queen Elizabeth I was a big fan of bear baiting. Further back still, we all know about the Roman gladiators and the entertainment that usually saw the death of either men or animals. Our history shows a trait in humanity of deriving pleasure from the pain of others. A more minor example might be the popularity of things like You've Been Framed or video clips on social media, where we're invited to laugh at people falling over, having accidents or hurting themselves. The Germans have a word for this, it's Schadenfreude. So as you're looking at some parts of this human race, you might be a little bit concerned. They aren't entirely welcoming, are they? You might wonder a bit about their history, where these ideas come from. Why do they treat other people and animals in this way? The stories of ancient religions, you might think, didn't help. Roman and Greek gods, for example, were very human in their nature, acting in anger, in lust, jealousy, pride, selfishness in their dealings with humans. They basically made up the rules to please themselves. If you upset them, you were in trouble. If you pleased them, you might get something back. But then you might come across another story. A story that stands out from stories of its age. A story of a God who actually cares about people. Not just cares about the people who make the right sacrifices, the people who are good, the people who do what he wants them to do, but about all people. Now this is something you have to look into. Why would a God care about people if they weren't giving him anything? Even the people on this planet don't seem to care about people if they can't get anything out of it. But this God is taking an interest in people. People so far beneath him, it's like humans caring for the lives of ants. And he's not taking an interest in them for sport, so he can set one against the other for his own entertainment, as the Greek and Roman gods did. He's taking an interest for their own benefit. Why would he do that? The answer, of course, is that he made them and he loves them. Not just in an I love ants kind of way, although that would be enough to feed them, protect them from predators, give them shelter, etc. But in a way that says, I love this ant, and I love this ant, and I love this ant, and I love this ant. And even more than that, in a way that says, I love ants so much that I'm going to become an ant myself so that I can be one of them and they can know me. What do you see as an alien to this world when you see a God that came down to become human? Even more, what do you think when you see that God being mistreated and even killed? What do you think when you see him return 3 days later? Surely now is the time for the anger, the bloodshed, the revenge. But that doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? Where's the wrath of God towards those who killed him? Where's the anger of his followers? What is going on here? So you think to yourself, if that's the story, maybe there's something I'm missing. You need to look a bit closer at this God man. What was it that he did? What was it he said that made things different? And as you look, one of the things you come across is this parable. What strikes you as you read this parable is not the judgment. You would expect from all you've seen of humanity and God through your studies that in the end, the God is going to punish someone and reward someone else. What strikes you as you read this parable are two things. First, the reason for the judgment. And second, the reason for the reason. So first, the reason for the judgment. The judgment is determined on whether someone has fed the hungry, given drink to the thirsty, showed hospitality to the stranger, clothed the naked, cared for the sick, and visited the prisoner. Not their success in life, not their faithfulness in prayer, not their attendance at some place of worship, not their sacrifices to some god, even this God. This God rewards people for caring for each other. Not for some unspecified service to himself by religious ritual. Which brings you to the second thing you notice as you ask, why does this God do this? He gives you the reason. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. This God identifies himself with people. Not just people in general, but specific people. He feels their hunger, their thirst, their fear, their pain. And when someone cares for them, he feels their joy, relief, and satisfaction. Just think of that for a moment. Let that sink in. God identifies himself with you. With me. With the lady in the shop. With the beggar on the street, he doesn't just watch, he feels and he knows. You know, I've been a Christian for 22 years. And before that, I grew up in the church. I've been training for ministry for the last 10 months. But it was only last week that this really sunk in. And it sunk in terms of forgiveness, not charity. But the meaning's the same. Let me read something to you. He has the right to forgive because he's the sympathetic creator who shares the lives of his creatures, experiencing the agony of all who suffer and receiving their hurt as his own. This did not happen only at the cross, but happens continually as God identifies himself with the weak and oppressed. When we read this story of Jesus, we're reminded of the way in which we should behave in love towards one another. But we need to look deeper to see the extent to which Jesus identifies himself with us and with others. When we do, it changes our whole situation. So let me ask, who are you in this story? I don't just mean, are you the righteous or the unrighteous, a sheep or a goat? But are you hungry, thirsty, sick or oppressed? Did you know that Jesus identifies himself with you? Did you know that every time you feel that hunger, Jesus feels it? Every time you feel the stab of pain when someone speaks against you, Jesus feels it. Every time they've hurt you, they've hurt him. Every time they've let you down, they've let him down. Jesus identifies himself with you. And you're invited to identify yourself with him. But his reaction to all those people is to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Are you prepared for that? If you identify yourself with Jesus, are you prepared to offer that forgiveness in his strength? I've been hurt before, but knowing that Jesus has felt that hurt with me and forgiven it should enable me to forgive it too. It should enable me to seek healing from him rather than revenge on the one who hurt me or even bitterness towards them. It brings me freedom in my identification with Jesus. What about those times when you've hurt others? When you've ignored their needs or acted out of selfishness? When you've let people down? When your words have wounded them, when their hunger was left unfilled, when you've walked away in anger and left them crying inside, did you know that you'd hurt Jesus? Did you know that he cried that night? Have you asked their forgiveness? Have you asked for his? Even if you feel like you've lost the opportunity to ask them, you can still ask him. Jesus has promised to give it. He identified with them in their suffering and still loves you. And those times when you were there, with a smile, a kind word, a comforting shoulder, when you helped the helpless, stood up for the oppressed, cared for someone who needed you, did you know that you were helping Jesus? That your actions and words, as they lifted that person's spirits, lifted his spirits? That you made him smile, that you showed him love, just as he feels your pain, just as he felt their pain, he feels their joy. And you did that. What's more, he feels double the joy because he feels yours too. He's blessed to give and to receive in the way that only God can be. As our alien friend looks at the ways of this world, he sees a dichotomy. He sees those who rejoice in the difficulties of others, who live by the principles of Schadenfreude, who serve themselves by others' pain. And he sees others who live by a different principle, who tell stories of a God who identifies with them, who serve their God by serving others. He sees people who love not just their equals, but those who might be seen as inferior, because they recognize that God doesn't just feel for them, but feels with them. I wonder if he thinks to himself, "I wish I could be human too." James, the brother of Jesus, wrote, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" He went on to say, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.'" We're saved by faith in Jesus, but because of that faith, we seek to serve him as we recognize him in each other. If I have faith in Jesus, why would I want to hurt him? Why would I not help him when he was in need? When we see our actions to others really and truly as actions towards God, not just some kind of spiritual service, it really does transform us. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that there have been times when we have hurt you, failed you, ignored your needs through carelessness or selfishness or pride. Forgive us for the distress we've caused to you and to others. We're grateful and humbled too that you would identify with us in our own pain. Grant us healing and help us too to forgive. as we go to our daily lives, would you help us to see you in others? May our actions cause you to rejoice. Be glorified in us and through us and because of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a couple of hymns now, beginning with Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us, you were one of us. Come now to a time of prayer in which the children are going to lead us. And this is one we recorded some time ago, but it's a family service. We should listen again. Let's pray along with our children in the spaces, feel free to add your own prayers, whether out loud or in your hearts or in the chat box. Let's pray together.
Let's start by thanking God for all the good things he's done for us. Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we pray for our families and friends who need your help today. Please look after them and give them what they need: comfort, peace, healing, and strength.
Lord God, we pray for everyone around us who is struggling or afraid or lonely or ill. Send them the help they need. Please let the coronavirus be over soon.
Lord God, please be with those in leadership and help them to make the right decisions.
Lord, as we lift these things to you and all our other prayers and people that are on our minds, would you act according to your mercy, your compassion, and your perfect will? Let's close as the children lead us in the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
for ever and ever.
Amen.
Our final hymn, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. And after this hymn, I hope to see you on Zoom if you can make it.